Today we have Sylvia Lindgren with us in the studio, who is running as a candidate for the New Democratic Party. Welcome, Sylvia, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
Were you involved in politics or interested in political matters before this election?
I was. I've been involved in political stuff for about 15 years, 16 years maybe, both through my union and then through previous attempts at a provincial run. And I've also been on city council in Salmon Arm for 6 years. I was elected in 2018 and 2022.
What made you decide to run in this particular election?
I think that there's a lot at stake in this election. We've seen a lot of changes in our society since 2020 and the COVID pandemic. I think it's pushed people to become more polarized and more aggressive in their stance. Social media has kind of instigated some negative interactions, and people feel emboldened to promote things that either aren't true or are fairly extreme and not mainstream ideas, for sure. And I think that because in this election we have the BC Conservatives running, and they're an interesting group, I thought it was really important that we have a stable, middle-of-the-road voice, somebody that knows the area, somebody that's been involved here before. And, you know, the NDP have always been my party. They stand for the things that I stand for, which is making sure people have equity, people have access to things like health care and safety and the things that they need every day. And it's important that we all work together to solve the problems that society is having these days. And the NDP is a really good, solid centrist voice for that.
Are you originally from the Shuswap?
No, I grew up in little mining towns across northern Canada. My dad was a mining engineer and we moved a lot. So I've seen a lot of northern Canada, spent my teenage years in Fort McMurray and then went to university in Calgary and Edmonton. And then I moved to Kelowna. Well, I did a year in Australia, then moved to Kelowna in 91, I think, and ended up divorced from my first husband there and met and married somebody from Salmon Arm. And so with family support being so important for us with young kids, we moved to the Shuswap in 1994.
What was your life like before you came to this area?
Well, I worked in a lot of different areas, but mostly with people with special needs. So my training is, I have a phys ed degree working with special populations and a minor in outdoor education, which gave me a love of the outdoors and camping and fishing. And those are the things that I did with my dad growing up. And I have great memories and feel like I have a great connection with the wilderness. Makes me very passionate about climate change and preserving trees and cutting pesticide use and things like that, which are issues that I've worked here in Salmon Arm. I had a really carefree childhood. I was really lucky. I grew up in the 70s when kids left the house after breakfast and ran in the woods and rode snowmobiles and dirt bikes and came home when the lights came on the street lights, if you had street lights in your neighborhood. So it was good, really good. I had a great childhood and yeah.
And what's your living situation now?
Well, that's interesting because I was talking to somebody today about when I grew up, my mom was a stay-at-home mom and we could get by easily on one income. And, you know, we lived in a company house because my dad worked through the mine and I think our rent was $40 or $60 a month or something crazy like that. We had a 16-foot fishing boat and we used to go camping every summer. And it was, you could have a really good life on one income. And now things are a lot different. My husband and I work two jobs, and I have for the last 25 years in Salmon Arm. My husband works for the school district, but also does renovations on the side for extra income. And everything's gotten more expensive. It's harder to make ends meet. And we're some of the lucky people who got into the housing market when houses were $150,000. And so we probably will never be homeless, but my boys might not ever be able to afford to buy a home. So things are tough.
What sort of work and other activities have you been involved in?
Oh, let's see. There have been a few. I've worked for the school district for the last 20 years, but that's never been a full-time job. And so I've always had to have other things on the side. So I worked as a paramedic for BC Ambulance for a year and a half until I realized that it was a really stressful occupation with a very low paying job. It was a very low paying job. I worked for the Kamloops Brain Injury Association with people with brain injuries, giving community support for them. I worked for Harmony Haven, which is a seniors program here in town for people with dementia. That was probably my favorite job of all time. It was a little bit like working with young kids, but without any of the fighting over toys. So it was all kinds of fun. We did some really amazing stuff. We one night set up our Harmony Haven as an Italian restaurant and had people that come back in the evening for a romantic dinner out for Valentine's Day, and it was awesome. That was a really great place to work.
What keeps you here?
In the shoe shop? The people, probably. I've made really good friends here. I never lived anywhere longer than 7 years before I moved to Salmon Arm, and I would say I'm completely rootless. I'm not really from anywhere. I was born in Quebec. I spent a lot of time in Northern Ontario. I lived as far north as you can go in BC without leaving the province. I lived in Fort McMurray during my teenage years. And I have memories from there, but not roots. And so in Salmon Arm, I was able to establish roots. And I think a big part of that was coming here because my husband's foster family, Dr. Marr and his wife Rochelle, pretty much raised my husband, and they have been a rock for us.
What is it like being a candidate? Have you gone through any training programs?
Yeah, in 2017, I was offered a lot of training. The NDP has a really great program, particularly for new candidates, and then on top of that, training for female candidates, because it's hard to get women to run, I think. So we got media training, we got a lot of training on how to ask for donations, what to expect in politics, that kind of thing. And so, and we got photographs. We spent a day with a professional photographer. Fabulous guy, totally gets you relaxed. And it was fantastic. So, but a lot of my training has come from just doing the job, showing up every day for city council meetings and showing up for interviews like this, talking to people on the streets. You start to learn more about what do people want to hear from you, what kind of questions they're going to ask, how much information I should be sharing versus how much information I need to get from the other person. Are they here to talk to me today, or are they here to hear solutions from me? A lot of it's been on the job.
What's a typical day like for you now?
I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I make my lunch and get showered and dressed, and then I take my dog to Little Mountain because he stays home all day by himself, and do about a 35 minute hike around Little Mountain, and then I go to my day job at the school district for 8. I spend the day trying to help kids get everything they can out of their educational day. Some kids with special needs, some kids with behavioral issues, those kinds of things. And then when I finish that, I hop on the campaign trail. I've been out knocking on doors, delivering flyers to people, stopping at seniors' homes to talk to seniors, doing interviews with CBC and with the radio stations, with Castanet, meeting people at my office. Friday night, we're having a little gathering at the NDP office and offering to walk with people to the polls if they're interested in going to vote. I think Gloria Morgan is coming to make bannock for everybody, actually. So there's some really fun stuff that happens. And there's some stuff that's just plain hard work, but that's the work that has to get done, and I'm up for it.
Is being a candidate like you thought it would be?
Yes. Maybe in 2017, I found some things that I wasn't expecting, but so much of it is just fun. I mean, we ended up on the cover of the QP Provincial Magazine, the women candidates from this area, and not from this area, but that were QP members. We got to meet people. I mean, I get to be on phone calls with David Eby. How often do you get to sit down with the premier and talk about what's on your mind today and hear what he's thinking about, and then, you know, question is well, what he's talking about, is that going to work in the shoe shop? And then mention that to him. Like, I had an experience like that about a week ago. So yeah, it's harder work than you think it's going to be, and it can be. You kind of have to develop a thick skin, because we don't all think the same, and some people are going to say, we don't like your party, or we don't like your politics, or we don't like you even. Some, you know, I've run into the odd one. But mostly it's fun. It's about teamwork and being together with like-minded people and encouraging people. And in 2017, I met two women in a very low socioeconomic bracket that lived downtown, and they were so excited. They didn't live together. It was two separate occasions, but so excited that a candidate came to their house. They couldn't believe it, that anybody would care enough to come to the downtown doors and talk to people about, you know, voting and the importance of that and explain the issues to them. They told us that, both of them said that, well, they wanted to vote. They wanted to vote for me, but they'd never voted before. They didn't know how. And so we arranged for somebody from the team to walk them through the process, drive them to the polls. One of them had to stand up for one of these women because she didn't have the right ID, and she was ready to give up and just go home. And the campaign worker said, you know, no, wait, there's ways to work this, and you just, let's figure it out, and we can sign an affidavit or whatever it was, and walked her through. And I met with them afterwards for coffee, and they were so excited and empowered, and they just felt like they'd just done something magical in their lives. And that there's moments like that in every campaign, and you have to kind of hang on to those ones.
What particular qualities do you feel you bring to your candidacy? Not just what the party is looking for, but what qualities do you have personally that make you a suitable candidate?
Yeah, I think the main thing is my advocacy. I've been an advocate for people since I was a young teenager, and I remember sometimes my friends would have problems in their life. Maybe the boyfriend broke up with them or whatever it was, and they would call me crying, and my mom would hand me the phone and say, oh, another one of your cases is on the phone, kind of thing. Go talk to them. And so since I was probably 14, I've been advocating for people. And when I got into working with people with special needs, I think that was the skill that I really brought, is that some people don't have the voice that they need to, or sometimes they have a hard time identifying what their needs are, but they really have a hard time advocating for themselves. And so for my kids at school, for other people's kids at school, for kids that I worked with in most of the professions that I've had, I've always been that voice of, no, you can't do that because that doesn't work for this person. We need to make sure that what you're offering works for this person. And I've done that on city council as well. I did that in our union. I got recruited to work for QPBC, for QP National, because what the QP rep said was that I wasn't afraid of the employer. I was willing to speak my mind and say what needed to be said and then work through the issue. But if you don't ask for what you need, you aren't going to get it. And I think I bring that to city council. I get comments about that from people in the public and from my fellow councillors on a regular basis, and that they appreciate the fact that I'm not afraid to, you know, speak up.
What particular policies of the NDP do you feel most strongly about or resonate the most with you personally?
Yeah, leave no one behind. I think that really sums up what the NDP is all about. The policies and that legislation that they develop and the programs that they work on and the, you know, the affordability fund, the community building fund, all those things are about making sure that programs and public services that people need are accessible by everybody. It's not if you fit into this category, you can get medication. We need to make sure that everybody has access to the things that they need. You shouldn't have to pay to go to the doctor. You shouldn't have to pay to drive on roads that you need to, in the Lower Mainland, toll bridges, for instance, to get to work. It shouldn't be a variable amount of money. If you're rich, you pay whatever dollars to ride. I guess they're not riding the transit if they're rich, so it's a bad example, but everybody should have access. And yeah, all of the things that the NDP do are about making sure that working people, poor people, people with disabilities, seniors, that the middle class particularly, are able to get the things they need to have a successful life and to thrive.
What issues do you feel are the dominant matters in the Salmon Arm Shuswap riding that you will focus on if you're elected?
There's a few of them. Affordability is a huge one. Everything is more expensive, and it's not unique to here. It's not even unique to BC. It's probably not even unique to Canada. The price of so many things went up during the pandemic. It was a real eye-opener for us about what the global economy, what the costs of the global economy are. So that's a big one. I think that we need to be able to do more to bring the price of housing down for sure, because that's driving inflation at an extraordinary rate. Climate change is huge on my list. And, you know, when we had the fire in 2023 in the North Shuswap, that's a real ground-shaking kind of experience for people. People were traumatized by that, and we don't want to be living through those year after year after year. We got really lucky in 2024, and we didn't have anything terrible happen here. But it's only a matter of time, unless we make some pretty radical changes and we do some things to, you know, fire smart our areas. Maybe that's going to come through selective logging, or I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like, but we need better land management and connections with the First Nations people so that we can use their land management practices that have worked for a millennial before we stop them from living their cultural practices. I think the housing issue, we've seen some of the addictions and opioid crisis stuff happening here in Salmon Arm. There are more people homeless here now than there have ever been. But I think there are also a handful of people who have some really serious trauma, addictions, mental health combination issues that need more help than we're able to give them right now. And the BCNDP have been working really hard on trying to find a really science-based, proven way to help with those problems. And I think that they're trying things that haven't been tried here before, which is really gutsy and courageous of them. They're basing it on programs that have worked around the world in other countries. And, you know, it's taking a while to work out what works and what doesn't. But they're willing to look at what's happening and change their mind a bit and change the angle of the sails a little if it looks like we're not getting exactly to where we thought we were going. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there.
What issues provincially do you feel are important?
Climate. Housing and climate. And they're related. Well, we're building all this affordable housing and getting people off the streets into homes that they can afford. It's important that those are built in a really sustainable and green way. So one of the things that NDP had done to try and support that is the STEP code, which has been increasing, and we hope to be net zero. I think it's 2027 or 2026, I forget. Those things should help. But 50% of our greenhouse emissions come from our vehicles. Think, you know, mostly our personal vehicles that we drive every day. And in areas like rural BC, it's really difficult to get out of your car and onto the bus because it doesn't run often enough. And we have a lot of hills here, and nobody wants to ride their bike up Okanagan. So those are things that are being worked on. It's a complicated and convoluted kind of issue where so many things are interrelated. Transportation and highways, and should we be doing trains, or should we be doing more highways? Should we be building more houses, or what kind of houses should we be building? And so many of them tie into climate initiatives, and we need to be looking at all of them.
What is the one thing, or perhaps two or three things, that you'd really like to accomplish if you're elected?
Oh, man. I'd like to see a few things, I guess. One that comes to mind would be more incentives for people to electrify. So making sure that we have enough electricity to supply or to meet the demand, but then making sure that we have more incentives to switch from gas-powered vehicles to electric vehicles. I think that's a big could put a big dent in our emissions here. And I've been driving an electric car for 4 years, and it's fabulous. I hope everybody gets a chance to try it. I think they're going to love it. Another thing probably is figuring out how we're going to make forestry sustainable. I want to see a good balance between preserving trees and protecting the climate and being able to sustainably harvest and log wood so that we can build houses, so that we can use the wood for the things that we need them for. And so many communities in BC, especially northern BC, rely on those mills. We used to have more of them here, actually, that have closed over the years. Somebody in Sicamous was asking me about that last night. What are we going to do about, you know, having local jobs for teenagers, especially when you finish high school or you're in grade 12 and you're looking to make some money on the side? It used to be easier for those kids to get a job that was actually a fairly good paying job, maybe at the mill. And I think we need to make sure that we get a really good handle on that. And then we need to do some really serious climate adaptation. The climate's changing. I mean, you only have to look out the window to watch the news, whatever. It's undeniable that the climate has changed. The hurricane that just went through Florida should prove that to anybody. Somebody at the Sicamous Climate or the Sicamous Forum last night said, well, I don't know what a hurricane in Florida has to do with BC, but, you know, that's another issue. I think that we need to be able to do more to mitigate where the damage is going to occur. We need to make sure that we're not going to lose highways like the Coquihalla in 2021, because we have not figured out food security yet. And we all saw what it was like when the shelves were empty, when we couldn't get things here from the chicken farms in Abbotsford, or the milk and dairy that we couldn't get. And we were lucky here. D. Dutchman Dairy stepped up, they ramped up production, and boy, like, people in the shoe shop sure knew who they were for, you know, a full year, I think. And I hope that that worked out well for them, and I hope that they're still able to keep their production up at that level and have that share of the market, because I think it's really important that food security be an issue that we're all thinking about, so that the 100-mile diet is something that should be on people's minds these days.
How do you intend to try and achieve these goals if you're in office?
Through collaboration and research and working together across party lines and with First Nations communities and governments and with municipalities. All of this stuff, they're huge issues, and there's no simple solution for fixing any of them. It's going to take all hands on the ground. I think that the Green candidate here has been, and maybe the Green campaign, I'm not sure, has been using the phrase a wartime effort. And they're right on that. I think that during the war, every single level of society was involved, whether it was growing vegetables for the victory gardens or women going to work for the first time because the men were away. Everybody pulled their weight and everybody pulled in the same direction. And I think that's the kind of thing that we're going to be looking for. And I think that's what people should be looking for in their candidates, for sure. People that are going to go and fight for the people of the Shuswap from here, and that they're going to work with everybody that needs to be involved, not people that got elected from their party, not holding up some sort of ideal about, well, your campaign didn't agree with my campaign. Like, that's got to all be water under the bridge once you get elected, and you need to be able to work with everybody, because it's going to take all hands on deck.
If you're elected, what are the things that you'd like to be remembered for after you've completed your time in office?
Being a team player, I think, would be important to me. Looking out for people who don't have a voice, making sure that equity-seeking groups were heard. That kind of thing. Being an advocate. Yeah, one of the things I've been looking for or talking about on my campaign trail is the three things that I think that I bring to the table, which is availability, advocacy, and accountability. I'm going to show up. I'm going to take your phone call. I'm going to be in the office. You can come and talk to me anytime. And then I'm going to go and I'm going to take your concerns to Victoria. I'm going to advocate for you. And then I'm going to come back to you and tell you how it all went. So I hope that those are the things that I'm campaigning on, and I hope that those are the things that I'm remembered for.
Are there any final comments you'd like to make?
I guess to say that these are pretty tumultuous times. Not unprecedented times, I don't think. I think that we go through cycles in our society where things go well and then maybe there's some hard times or some traumatic events, and like the pandemic, and that drives people to dig in their heels. We get polarized. And so I want to just remind people to look for candidates that are looking for solutions, that people that are looking for solutions based in evidence, that they're supported by science, that they've proven their ability to work together with other people to accomplish things. Look for people that have experience, that have their eyes open about what politics means, that they're not making promises, that they have no idea if they can keep. Yeah. Just be careful who you're voting for. Think it through. Read the websites. Do your research.
Thank you, Sylvia, for coming in, and good luck in the election.
Thank you very much, and thank you again for the invitation.
This is CKVS FM 93.7, Voice of the Shoe Swap. You've been listening to our interview with Sylvia Lindgren, who is running as a candidate for the NDP in the upcoming provincial election in our riding, which is Salmon Arm Shoe Swap.